On the Long View today, we talk spirituality. Neil Milner joins us live this morning. How are you? Good morning, Neil.
Yes.
So I'm thinking of that Let It Be song, the Beatles song, In Times of Trouble, Mother Mary Comes to Me.
Well, yeah. Although Let It Be is really not the thing that this article is about. It's about when people no longer have anything available to them to deal with the terror of and the tragedy of the COVID pandemic, when people die and you can't go to their funerals, when you can't visit close family when they're sick, when after they die you're not quite sure what to do, it turns out that, and this shouldn't be too much of a surprise, that lots of people turn towards spiritualists, towards psychic mediums. And this piece by Colin Dickey is very good because it's not about those kinds of people being bizarre, which generally spiritualists are not. They're kind of middle-class folks like you and me. And people going to them because they believe in such weird stuff, they go to them because it's a way to recover something that has been lost, that communicating, trying to make contact with people, as they say, on the other side through a spirit medium. Lots of people turn toward the spirit medium to try to do this because every other way that they would normally deal with saying goodbye to someone is just disappeared in the coronavirus thing, if you lost someone in coronavirus. So Dickey's piece is good because it helps us understand what people have lost as much as why they've turned to spirit mediums as a way to do it. He interviewed a bunch of them in New York City, in the greater New York City area. And they talk about their clients, and they talk about the fact that they definitely have seen more people come to them about making contact with loved ones since the pandemic. And they say on the past experiences, like 9/11, that it will increase, that lots of people, at first, I suppose you think something like PTSD, at first you don't have the reaction to trauma, and then later on you find yourself bereft and rootless, and then you turn to them. So that's pretty much what it was about, and I thought that it was an important factor to understand about another way that the COVID pandemic has really taken things that we normally take for granted, like closeness and so on, and destroyed them and leaving people with nothing else out there.
Now, you found this article on this End of the World Review, which I thought was interesting. I went and looked at it. You know, but it's a way to be able for us to be able to, I guess, express our grief when our regular rituals have been disrupted.
Well, that's right, for sure. And there are two things to understand, one of which is that, as one of the spiritualists says, or actually as Dickey describes it, the spiritualism in these situations provides what Dickey says is a narrative of solace. You know, you're feeling terrible, you're feeling bereft. You lost a loved one without ever being able to say goodbye. You know, those horrible photos of people saying goodbye over a cell phone to someone who's, you know, barely conscious. This gives you another narrative to try to talk about it. And to reaching to someone on the other side is, you know, it may sound bizarre to some. It's certainly not to a lot of other people. But that's what happens. And one of the spiritualists said, I get a lot of healthcare workers that have gone through the trauma of treating COVID in these terribly traumatic situations here, primarily in New York, in New York City. And it turns out that they need something to process what they're going through and the terrible feelings that they have. And this is the way that many of them have chosen to do it.
And historically, he goes back and looks at the different times,
yes,
right, where people have turned to this for
well,
like you said, for
solace. Well, he mentions briefly maybe the most well-known practitioner of them all, although you think of him as the Sherlock Holmes writer, and that's Sir Alfred Conan Doyle, who did it. But, yeah, he goes back and he shows that historically, when Americans, for example, have had to deal with a kind of mass death in a very different sort of matter, a super tragic sort of matter, like the Civil War, there was a lot of turn toward spiritualism because your loved one died somewhere else. You know, your young son or, you know, or niece or nephew, whatever, died somewhere else. There was no proper way to bury him. There was no connection at the end. There was none of this solace that you're used to about the morality of suffering. You just were out there, and so people turn to spiritualism to, you know, to help them get through it.
Right, it's therapy, their way of getting
through it. It is therapy, I guess. You know, if therapy in the broadest sense, whatever gets you through, and the people who go there to a spiritualist are generally not worrying about being duped. They're fine with the possibility that they actually make contact with a loved one, quote, somewhere else on the other side.
I guess, you know, when people hear psychic, you know, you think of just the stereotypes, you know, that you see on TV and the movies, and you do worry about people falling prey to folks during a vulnerable time.
Sure, that's true. But if you really look into where psychics practice and what they practice like, most of them don't look like that. Most of them don't do that. And I'm pretty sure that a lot of people who are listening right now have gone to psychics and may even know someone who, when I say claims to be a psychic, that's, you know, it's not like River City's going to have a boys band kind of thing. It means that they think they have that kind of power. Psychics, people who consider themselves psychic sort of are pretty well distributed throughout the population. That's what some of the research has shown. But yeah, you know, the ones that I know about, there used to be a very popular one in Kaimuki Key for a while. Then I think she moved somewhere else. All kinds of very smart, educated people went there. She certainly wasn't, you know, didn't do the Swami thing. It's always been a part of even rational Western society.
Well, these are certainly, you know, very strange times, and you know, people have this need to grieve, and will reach out in different ways to kind of get that solace.
I mean, if you think about it in another way, even the religious rituals that are available to you, you know, if you're let's say a fairly devout Christian, those get interrupted in ways now. That's why there was so much pressure from churches to reopen in person again, because the kinds of religious rituals that you have depend on a sort of closeness. They depend on a kind of predictable way of doing things. And again, you go back to the funeral. Every religion, you know, well, most religions, probably every religion, have some kind of funeral ritual. And you're pretty much deprived of that if you're, you know, in the kind of situation, especially in what the menace was in New York City, where these spiritualists that were interviewed practiced.
And you had some experience there in New York City.
Well, I had some experience elsewhere. I was doing a project a few years ago where, this is actually about 20 years ago now, I got interested in alternative medicine, and again, not so much to find out whether psychics or off-the-body healers, whether it, quote, really works or not. I figure you have to suspend that disbelief just to try to figure out what they say about their work. And for the most part, they would have no trouble understanding or practicing in this kind of situation that they have. One of the things that a lot of them would talk about is that if you're open to this possibility, spiritualism works better. So that's one side. That's a kind of the exotic side. The other side of it is that in certain places, like in England, a lot of it started to become sort of regulated. For example, you needed to have a code of ethics, like a spiritual healers, for example, in London. If you wanted to be part of the National Health Service, there are certain things that you had to do that sound a lot like professional regulation It's just that it's it just look sounds different when you think about, well, okay, doctors have ethics. We understand that, codes of ethics, mm-hmm. how you proceed. But psychics or spiritualists, the answer is to the extent that they want to be part of a mainstream society, they tend to be like that. And I think you can understand more about the New York spiritualists that are in this thing and their clients by thinking about how much alike, how not different both the clients and the spiritual practitioners are than mm-hmm. how they're different.
All right, yeah, interesting issue. But thanks so much, Neil.
You're welcome. Take care of yourself.
All righty.
Okay, bye.
That was our regular contributing analyst, retired political science professor, Neil Milner.